Ahead, get in the word. Let's look at 2 Samuel 12, and let's start at verse 18, and we'll read to about 23. The Bible says, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Father, add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. Bless us now, my Savior. We come to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints of God, we've been in 2 Samuel. Hallelujah. Just going verse by verse, line by line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And if you remember in 2 Samuel, that's when David becomes king over all of Israel. He's doing really good. He's conquering nations. Amen. He brings the Ark of the Covenant. He conquers Jerusalem. But while he's conquering everybody else, on the inside, he's being conquered himself. Amen. And he's being conquered by sin. David sees Bathsheba on the roof, and so he sins with her. He commits adultery. He thinks that he's going to go and commit adultery and nobody finds out, but she conceives and so she gets pregnant. David concocts a plan to bring Uriah back and let him lie with his wife, and the child will be thought as Uriah. But God resisted David and Uriah resisted David and Uriah wouldn't go back to his house. The Bible says that David kills Uriah, giving Joab a note to put him at the forefront of the line. After Uriah is killed, David takes Bathsheba to be his wife. 9 months go by, amen. Bathsheba has a son for David. And it appears like everything is going fine and that nobody knows. But remember what the Bible says, your sin shall certainly find you out. The Bible says that the prophet Nathan walked in, came on the scene, and told David a parable about two men, a rich man and a poor man. The rich man took the poor man's lamb, and David was infuriated. He began to talk about it. He said, "Listen," he said, "who is it? Tell me his name." He began to talk about the man paying fourfold and the man dying who took the poor man's lamb. And if you remember, Nathan says, "Thou art the man." David was convicted immediately. And David says, "I've sinned against the Lord." The Lord said, "Don't worry about it. Since you repented so quickly and so heartfelt, in a heartfelt way, your sin is put away from you. Howbeit, amen, it's going to be some consequences. The child is going to die." So the Lord struck the child with sickness. David besought the Lord. He fasted. He lay up all night upon the earth. David was pressing in hopes that God would change his mind. After all that, the child died. Amen. And we've been talking about what do you do when God says no? When you pray, when you fast, when you press in, amen, and God still tells you no. If you remember in the last few messages, we talked about, hallelujah, why God says no. And I hope that if you hadn't heard it or if you need a refresher, go get the CD or jump online. Amen. We also talk about how to respond when God says no. We can't pitch a fit. We can't throw a tantrum. Amen. We got to know how to respond when our God says no. So we looked at David's response. David arose from the place where he was at. He didn't stay in that place. He anointed himself. He began to use his other blessings that was around him. He went to the house of the Lord. He didn't allow a no to get in the way of his relationship with God. He was always in the house, Miss Jen, whether it was going good, whether it was going bad. He said, God, I'm going to love you. It's not going to get in the way of our relationship. And when David got to church, amen, he just didn't play church with his lips or just sitting there and just pout around. No, no, no. David worshiped while he was in church. And we told you, even when God tells you no, you got to get in the house of God and you got to worship the Lord. Because he's still good. You got to lift your hands. You got to sing. You got to dance. Amen. You got to worship him because he's still good. Even though we don't understand all of his ways and why he do things, we got to trust, amen, in his character and who he is. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, so tonight we pick up, y'all, in verse 21 of chapter 12. We'll have 3 points this evening, and we'll talk about, number one, while the child was alive, which is also the title of the message, while the child was alive. Then we'll talk about, number two, wherefore should I fast? And then number three, I shall go to him. So without further ado, let's pick up with our first point, while the child was alive. And we get this from, amen, a couple of verses. So let's begin in verse 21. The Bible says in 21, then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. What we have here, y'all, is that David's servants were confused. They were perplexed a little bit. You see, they watched David while the child was sick, afflict himself, mourn, fast, weep, lay on the ground, refuse to go to his comfortable royal bed. And they were sitting there watching all that, and they say, boy, if he's going to mourn and grieve like that because the child is sick, what he going to do when the child died? You see, it was a misunderstanding. They thought that David was fasting because he was grieving. They thought that David was laying up all night because he was mourning. David wasn't grieving. David was in mourning. David was pressing in unto his God. He was trying to ask God to spare the child. But they misinterpreted what David was doing. Amen. And so what happens next is further confusion. Because they watch, amen, the child die. And when they tell David that the child was dead, they was getting ready for David to hurt himself. For David to run out or maybe lose his mind. And when they told David that the child was dead, David got up, brushed his knees off, he arose, he washed his face, he anointed himself, he got dressed, and he went to church, baby. And they looked at him and they said, what is this that you're doing in verse 21? We don't understand, David. Why you acting like this? You was mourning just because he was sick. Now he's died and now you're worshiping? What is going on? Well, in verse 22, David explains. In 22, he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be what? Will be gracious to me to give me what I don't deserve. That's grace. To give me what I don't deserve. Unmerited favor. David said, that's why I fasted. That's why I wept. Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? I fasted and wept, elders, saints, because there was a chance that God would change his mind. A chance that God would undo his decree. Kind of like what he did to King Hezekiah. Anybody know the story of Hezekiah? When he was sick unto death. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 38, amen, that Isaiah was on his way out. God actually sent a prophet, or rather Hezekiah was on his way out. God sent a prophet, he sent Isaiah. And Isaiah told Hezekiah, Michelle, get your house in order. Get your house in order. You see? But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 38:2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. Can we say that all together? What did Hezekiah do? He turned his face toward the wall. There's some people, amen, when you're going through some things and it feel like there's no way out and it feel like that God done even told you no, amen, and you feel like you even got the word that you didn't even want to hear was the word that you got. You got to do like Hezekiah did. Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall, you see? And what did he do? He prayed unto the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 3, he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart." I might not have done everything right, but in my heart I was trying. You see what I'm saying? "And have done that which was good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. You see, sometimes you got to cry before God. Sometimes if it's something you want bad, you got to cry. And if your eyes not wet, you don't want it bad enough yet. Hezekiah understood that. He wept bitterly. And David's trying to explain, "That's why I wept. That's why I fasted. Because this has worked before." And Hezekiah did the same thing. The Bible says in 38:4 of Isaiah, look what it says. You see, we know the story. Mike, Isaiah had just walked out from telling Hezekiah, "Get your house in order, because you're dying." Hezekiah turned to face the wall, crying and praying. You with me so far? My wife, she know the story. Isaiah had not even left his house yet. He delivered one message, amen, in the bedchamber of the king. Walk out, go downstairs. He's walking out the yard, trying to walk out the yard. He's still in the king's court. God sent another message, text message to Isaiah. You understand what I'm saying? Turn around and go tell him something. It didn't take long, my Isha, for God to change his mind. Before Isaiah left the yard, anybody hear me? Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying this in verse 5. I just love this. Let's just talk about it. "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer and I have seen thy tears." There's somebody in here tonight. You think that nobody see your tears, but God says, "I have seen thy tears." I love the way he talk about it. He says, listen, he fills his bottle. Amen. He puts our tears in a bottle. That's how much he loves us. Amen. He's madly in love with us. When we cry and our pillow wet and nobody else cares. Amen. God is filling up his bottle with our tears. And when we get to glory, amen, he's going to say, "You thought you was by yourself and nobody understood and nobody cared, amen. Look at my room full of your tears. I kept every single one, amen, because I love you. And every tear that you cried was important to me." God says, "I've seen thy tears. Behold," hallelujah, "I will add unto thee," add unto thy days. How many? 15 years. Come on, give God some glory for that. You see? Now, you might not think 15 years is a lot, but when you was going to die that same night and he had 15 years, let me tell you something. One day or 365 days times 15, let me tell you something, man. That's a big deal. You see? So David wept for the child. He fasted for the child and he prayed for the child. Just like Hezekiah did. And the Bible tells us, amen, that he prayed and he wept for the child while the child was alive. And that's in verse 22. And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept." You see, he was doing just like Hezekiah. Maybe God gonna change his mind. Feel like God gave me a revelation about this. Amen. A lot of us doing our weeping at the wrong time. A lot of us doing our praying and our fasting at the wrong time. He just didn't want to let me go, Deacon Cordell, when he said, "While the child was yet alive." David didn't wait for the child to be dead before he wept and he fasted and he cried. It was while the child was yet alive. And God began to put on my spirit, amen, to deliver a prophetic message. Amen. To some parents in here, to some husbands and some wives, to some children in here, to some friends and co-workers. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God's saying you're waiting to pray and fast and cry further down the road when you should be fasting and praying and crying right now, because David cried and he prayed while the child was yet alive. Let me break it down to you here now. Let me break it down. You see, I see in us, in our parenting, amen, hallelujah, We crying and fasting when it's too late. I'm talking about we got to fast and pray while the child is alive. And not just alive in a physical sense, but alive in the sense before danger comes, before trials come, before jail come, before hell come, before drugs come, before you got to pray while they are yet alive. You see, we praying too late. We crying too late. We weeping too late. We fasting too late. Some of y'all, ooh, God have mercy. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I can get some to stand up right now and come testify that they did it a little too late. But there are some in here, there's still time for you. The child is yet still alive. There's still time for you. You can pray right now. Oh, come on, Pastor, break it down. I'm talking about before the streets take them. Before they get strung out on drugs. Before they in a coffin, pray while the child is still alive. Before they catch HIV and AIDS. Before they all promiscuous and in an adultery and in homosexuality. You still got time, parent. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know. You still got time. Some of y'all still have time, but you're waiting. You're waiting. You're not crying like you're supposed to. You're not fasting like you're supposed to. You're not praying like you're supposed to. They still in your house. They still living with you, man. And some of them might not be living with you, but they're not dead yet. Pray while the child is still yet alive. Oh, my goodness. My God, you don't know how many court hallelujah sessions I done been in and seen mamas and daddies crying. And I wonder to myself, why were you crying while they were yet alive? You see, you're going to cry now. You're going to cry now when they got 20 to life. You're going to cry now, amen, when they done got the third strike, amen, and they're not coming out of jail no more. You should see them, boy, they cry, they act a fool, Miss Chantel, rolling on the floor and everything. And I wonder to myself, why didn't you cry like this while the child was yet alive? Why? When the child was selling drugs right outside your house. When the child had the dope, hallelujah, in the living room set that you paid for. When the child was coming with the money and you was buying yourself wigs and weave and high heel shoes. And what? Why you wasn't crying and weeping and fasting while the child was yet still alive? I just want to know, because you see, in the courtroom, it's too late for that. It's too late for that. I'm trying to help somebody not cry too late, not weep too late, not fast too late. I don't know who I'm talking to, but this is a prophetic warning. It's a prophetic warning. Fasting time is now. Praying time is now. Weeping time is now. My goodness. My little wife always, she say this, if we put as much energy, as the energy we put trying to get them kids out of trouble, if we would put that same energy into keeping them out of trouble, if we would cry and roll around the floor to stop them from going to the club, to stop them from picking up the little girl and the little boy, to stop them from buying this music and that music and wearing this clothes and that clothes. Woo! While the child was yet alive. You see, because after that is over, it's too late. Y'all still have some small ones with y'all. You're not praying enough. You're not fasting enough. You're not watching enough. You're letting them do anything they want in your house. Well, now was the time. While the child is still alive. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Yeah. When they get arrested, when they get caught up, when they get shot up, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. But God gave me another revelation about this while the child was yet alive. He began to talk about it from a spiritual perspective about all of our loved ones and not just our children. You see, we want to cry when the coffin is here. I see it right now in the spirit. We cry at the funeral. And we play that talk where we talk like they done went to heaven, but we know better. Woo! We know better. And we play that game at the funeral, but late at night we think to ourselves, oh God. Oh God. And we weep and we cry. We cry for mamas, we cry for daddies, we cry for children, we cry for sisters and brothers. You see? We want to pray for them, we want to fast, we want to mourn. But I brought a message here tonight. I brought a message because, listen, you need to go to them while they're yet still alive. You need to go to them. You need to go to them and share the gospel with them while they are yet still alive. Because after they die, it's too late. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got a family member that they love up in here? Anybody got a brother that they love, a sister that they love? Anybody got a mama or a daddy that's just not right just yet? You know what I'm saying? Somebody you shared the same house with, you shared the same bed with, y'all laid at the same table together, and they heavy on your heart, and you don't want them to go to hell. But a lot of the times we don't say nothing. We don't do nothing. We're not praying for them every night. They name not on our prayer list. They name not in our war room like it's supposed to. But if something happened, we're going to be the first one rolling around the floor. You see? I brought a word for you tonight. Christian, not only you get ready, but I pray you begin to get your loved ones ready. All right? Because I don't know about you, but my Lord is coming back soon. And I believe that's the reason why he got this message here tonight. The reason he had the message at Women's Bible Study. You don't see the signs of the times. You don't see the shaking in the spirit. He wouldn't be regathering his people if he wasn't coming back soon. And my prayer is that you all would be ready. And not just you, but your loved ones. Listen, while the child was yet alive, while your brother is still alive, while your sister is still alive, while your mama is still alive, while your daddy is still alive, hey, God, pray for them, fast for them, weep for them, and go to them and share the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. 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 Don't even worry about it. They love you. And you don't have to be pushy. You don't have to be ugly to them. You just sit down with them. Buy them dinner or something, man. And sit down with them over a cup of coffee. And say, listen, if you love me, can you hear me out for 2 minutes? 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. And after you give me them 2 minutes, I might not come back for another month. Not forever, but next month I may come back. And you just share it with them. You share with them the gospel. And if you can't do it just yet, amen, because you're young in Christ, maybe, listen, you tell them, listen, if you love me, do one thing for me. Come with me to church on a Sunday or a Tuesday, amen, because I know my pastor going to bring the gospel every single time we get together. While they are yet alive, because when they're dead, it's too late. This is also true about our friends. The people we grew up with and rolled with. Our co-workers, the people we work with every day. You know? If something happened to them, man, listen. And the way things moving fast these days. How they done appear to be. It appear they done lose the four horsemen of death around the world. Things happening fast. You got to go ahead and do it. While they are still alive. And the Lord gave me another revelation. Our people. The Negroes. The Hebrews. We got a lot of people crying right now. Weeping right now. A lot of us protesting now. A lot of us praying now. But what happened before catastrophe? I want to know before Sterling and before. You see, nobody was protesting when they were selling drugs to the community. And nobody was protesting as we watched them live the drug life, the thug life. Nobody was protesting when we watched them listen to murder music. Nobody was protesting as we watched the devil serenade them with self-destruction. Nobody was protesting then. Nobody was praying then. But we protesting and we praying, amen, after these brothers done lost their lives. I wonder what would have happened if we would have been protesting and praying and fasting beforehand, amen. If the whole church would have been doing this before tragedy happened while Alton Sterling yet still was alive. You see? Yeah, this is good, but it might have been a little too late for both of them. And I wonder after this. I wonder after the news stops circulating it. I wonder after the story get old and we done heard it, we done been there and we done that. I wonder, amen, Mike, you hearing me up in here? I wonder who gonna still be protesting. Who gonna still be talking about the betterment of our people? Who gonna still be praying and fasting for our people? I just wonder when the cameras are gone. I wonder if they're gonna be standing up in Baton Rouge when there's no accolades, no names or pictures in the paper. You see? Yeah. It's good for us to come together for tragedy. Listen, I'm not saying that somehow we shouldn't be coming together. No, it's good. But we should have done it before tragedy, while they were still alive. And I want to challenge you that we got to keep pushing and pressing for our people even after, hallelujah, the stories stop circulating in our daily news. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! We got to go out there in the hoods and tell our people to repent, to get out from under the curse, to leave Deuteronomy 28 and come to Christ while the child is still alive. That's what we need to do. Come on, give God some more glory. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Second point of the evening. Amen. Wherefore should I fast? Wherefore should I fast? In 2 Samuel 12 and 23, the Bible says, amen. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? David says the child is dead, Joe. David says it's too late to pray now. And of course, David is not talking about raising a child from the dead. He's not talking about that. He's talking about that the child and went on. And David's saying, listen, it's too late to pray. We do all our praying when they are alive. David said, why should I fast? Why should I pray now when the child is already dead? God gave me another revelation for you tonight. We still have a lot of people, churches and whole denominations, that still pray for people after they done died and went on. Anybody hear me up there? See, because David says, why should I fast? Do you see it in the text? Why should I fast? Why should I fast? Why should I pray? The child is dead. This right here tells us something theologically. David is saying, if he's already dead, then I shouldn't be fasting for him. I shouldn't be praying for him because he's already gone. That's nothing I can do. You see? There's still a lot of churches, denominations, still praying for, and I'm going to deal with for, but even some praying to the dead. The Bible never showed us an example of anybody praying for the dead. Nowhere in the Bible does anybody pray for the dead. And the Bible is our rule for living. It tells us itself, don't go above that which is written. If you want to be saved, you stay in the confines of the book. You stay in the boundaries of the book. In the book, we never hear of anybody praying for, and I'm going to just add, praying to dead people. We are never commanded to pray for the dead. If God wanted us to pray for the dead, he told us to pray for everybody else. He said, pray for the sick, pray for those in authority, pray for the pastors, pray for the apostles. He tell us to pray. But he never once told us to pray for the dead. Anybody hearing me up in here? In fact, in this very section of scripture, David says the opposite. David says he's already dead. Why should I fast? Bible commentator Matthew Henry says this. He says, the dead are out of the reach of prayer. The dead are out of the reach of prayer. You see, prayer is good for this realm. Prayer changes this dimension. Anybody hear me up in here? But in the next realm, the next dimension, prayer won't be needed no more. Prayer is to call heaven on earth. Ooh. But why you need prayer when you in, oh, you hear me, somebody? So why would you ever pray for somebody who's dead? They in heaven. Prayer is not for this side. It's not for this realm. It's for the next. Now, I'm going to get to if they go not to heaven, but they go to the other place. You still can't pray for them because your prayer is not going to do nothing for them. Your prayer is, I'm going to just go, let's go into it then. Your prayer is not going to do nothing for them. Your prayer is not going to get them out of hell. It ain't going to bring them no cool water in hell. It ain't going to get them no air conditioning in hell. Your prayer can do nothing for those who are gone outside of our realm. And you got churches, amen, praying for the dead. We come from a culture, from a religion that not only pray for the dead, but we have whole services for the dead. A mass for the dead. Anybody hear me up in here? Tree, I just got to cut it like it is, Tree. You know what I'm saying, big brother? You know what I'm saying? My job here is to give truth. And no matter who in error, it don't matter. It's still my job to give truth. So I'm talking about this and talking about that. I don't listen, it's just about the truth. And what God don't want you to do is get mixed up in this stuff. Praying for dead folk and having a mass. And don't you ever come to me talking to me, let's have a mass for your dead. You say, boy, you crazy. You see? Because the fact of the matter is, listen, most of the time we're not doing that for them. No. We are not doing that for them. You're doing it for you. You're doing it for you. It's a sentimental thing. Now, if you want to do it for you in memory of your dead relative, look, that's fine. Go ahead and do your thing over there. You see what I'm saying? But listen to me now. That's not the way the church started that. Anybody know church history? You see, they started praying for the dead, and they started having mass for the dead as a way of making money. Yeah. They're not going to have the mass for free. And some of y'all could tell me how much y'all pay. All right. Paying for a mass. That boy cutting up in here. Yeah. They were selling masses and indulgences to people on the false hope that if you paid this amount, we can give you an indulgence that'll wipe away their sins, or we can give a mass that's gonna pull them out of purgatory or add righteousness to them so that they can get into glory. Listen to me. Whoo, the devil is a liar, friends. Minister Duck, you hear me up in here? You see, if you know anything about the gospel, this thing strikes at the heart of the gospel, the very thing that the Bible is centered all around. The gospel is that by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It ain't your works that's going to get you in heaven. It ain't nobody else's works going to get you in heaven. It's not a mass. It's not an indulgence. You can't buy your way in. The only way that you can get in is through the grace of God, which is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the way that we say. That's the way that we say. And that applies to you and all your loved ones. Don't ever let them trick you like that. When you know your Bible, they can't trick you. When you know your Bible, your money gonna stay in your pocket where it belongs. When you know your Bible, ooh, come on somebody. You see what I'm saying here? That's when you know your Bible. Don't let nobody bamboozle you. Read the scripture, search the scripture, study to show yourselves approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why they can't bamboozle you. They can't trick you like that. Yeah. David says, why should I fast? Why should I fast? Why should I pray? He's already gone. He's already dead. You see, our prayers have no bearing on someone once they have gone on and died. Our prayers have no bearing. It can make no change. You see, why can't our prayers make a change? Well, at death, our eternal destination has already been decided. When we die, our eternal destination has already been decided. And there's nothing we can do about that. Nothing we can do about that. If you remember Luke 16 in verse 26, when you had the rich man and you had Lazarus. And the moment the rich man died, amen, the Bible says he opened his eyes in hell. The moment, the judgment was already done. He opened his eyes in hell. And the Bible says that Lazarus was taken by the angels and he was flown into Abraham's bosom. It was already decided. And the rich man, it was hot down there in hell. Amen. You think it's hot in here? It ain't hot in here. It's hot in hell. You see? And the rich man was asking, look, just a drop of water on my tongue. Just a drop. He didn't even ask for a cup. He asked for a drop. And I'm going to tell you what they told him. They didn't give him that drop. He said, you can't get no drop. He said, listen, between us and you, there is a gulf, a great gulf, like the Gulf of Mexico, an expanse, a great expanse, a gulf that we can't cross. And the gulf is fixed, meaning that it's established and there's nothing that can change it. Oh, God, have mercy. Meaning that we on this side in paradise and you in that side in hell, there's a gulf between us and there's nothing that can change that. It's fixed. This is why your prayers for the dead can't help nothing. Because the destination is fixed. It's fixed. And to have a mass and to pray for them, it do nothing. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. This man knew his eternal destination was so fixed, he gave up on himself and said, what about my brothers and sisters who not here yet? A lot of churches and denominations worried about the dead when they should be worried about the living and should be preaching the gospel so the ones that's alive can get in. But wouldn't that be just like the devil? To distract us from helping the people who still have an opportunity to be helped, and to distract us and focus our attention on somebody it's too late for. Here you are, somebody done died. They've been dead, amen, more than 4 days. They've been dead for a week. By now they stinking. And you still trying CPR when they got somebody laying right on the side, amen, who still have breath in them, who you could really save. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on. David said, listen, I can't fast for him. I can't pray for him. He's already dead. That's why the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible tells us. It tells us today, you see, is the day of salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after that, face the judgment. Ain't nothing prayers can do to interrupt that. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. God, ooh, God. People, prayers ain't going to help you, man. A mass ain't going to help you. God don't want to know what they're doing for you. He want to know what you did. Ooh, he want to know what you did. That's why we sung that song, I pray we all be ready. You see? He want to know what you did. Now, there's some in here, amen, getting under condemnation because they done did some bad things. I understand that. We all sinners. But that's the beauty of Jesus Christ when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Yeah, sure, God going to come to you and ask you what you did, whether good or bad. But when you got Christ, his blood erases all the bad. His blood just takes away all the bad. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness. That's what you want, you see. Yeah. The medieval church was selling indulgences. They were giving masses for money. You see? I love what Psalm 49 and 6 say. Y'all still with me out there? Psalm 49 says this. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. God is saying, I don't care how rich you are. You could be a Rothschild. You could be a Rockefeller. God said, I don't care how rich you are. On that day when I call you home or call your brother home, you cannot redeem them because you can't afford what I need as payment. Oh, come on, somebody. Verse 8. Let's take it in the NIV. Let's go straight to the NIV in verse 8. And look what it says. Why we can't ransom our brother? For the ransom for a life is costly, and no payment is ever enough. There's only one payment for a soul, y'all. And that's Jesus on that cross. Whether it be your soul, whether it be your children's soul, whether it be your spouse's soul. And that's why, listen, don't you dare be wasting time here tonight. Watching your loved ones, hallelujah, slide their way into hell. With some false hope that somehow, after they die, you're going to be able to get them in. Don't let the devil lie to you. Today is the day of salvation. You got to get them in now. That's why Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If there was any other way to get in, the Bible would talk about it. And the gospel would not have so much urgency. Paul wouldn't be trying to persuade and risk his life, but Paul would just be like, well, don't worry about it. Let them die. We can have a mass for all of them. But that's not the way salvation works. David said, he's dead. Why should I fast for him now? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We got to be ready, saints. And we got to preach that gospel. We got to preach that gospel. We got to preach that cross. We got to go get our loved ones. The final point is point number 3. Look like we're going to get out of here early, y'all. They laughing, saying, sure, Pastor. No, I'm serious, man. I'm serious this time. We'll see how the Lord do it then. Brother Steve. He said, I shall go to him. Y'all, I love the Bible, y'all. I'm telling everything you need to know is in this book. Everything. And so while we're talking about our children and getting in the gospel and if they dying, it's too late. This next verse offers hope to some weary souls right here. You see? In verse 23, David says, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? I can't pray for him. I can't fast for him. Can I bring him back again? It's not going to happen. You see, David says, listen, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David says, I shall go to him. You see? This thing tells us two things. Two things. Oh, yeah. Miss Brittany, Brother John. This tells us two things, two important things. It tells us, number one, that there is absolutely an afterlife. David said, I can't bring him back, but I shall go to him. Anybody hear me up in here? I shall go to him. There is absolutely an afterlife. And it's not just talking about the grave. It's not just talking about I'm going to go to the grave. David said, David didn't say I'm going to go to the grave just like him. No, David says, I shall go to him. I will see him. I will touch him. I will hold him. I will be a father to him. I will be able to learn about him. I shall go to him. Oh, God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. I shall go to him. We know that this baby boy was probably a toddler at the time. Some say he was around 2 or 3. And David is saying, listen, I might not have got to know him for a long time, 2 years or so. But in glory, I'm going to get to know him for a long time. I shall go to him. Oh, God. Here's the second thing. Here's the second thing. The second thing that it teaches us, and there are some who don't believe it, but I don't care because I believe it. And I'm going to teach it. It teaches us, amen, that babies go to heaven. I don't know who I'm talking to up in here, but babies go to heaven. Now, some of y'all ain't never had no miscarriage. Some of y'all ain't never lost a child at the age of 2 or at the age of 1. So you quick to point out the in the scripture, them babies ain't going to heaven. Them babies going to hell. Wait till you lose a baby. Wait till you, then you're going to be more merciful. Then you're going to have compassion. But a lot of those folk that's talking like that don't know the character of God. If you knew the way God felt about children, suffer the little children to come unto me. For such is the kingdom of heaven. He said, I wish y'all all could be like the little children. Ain't nobody going to get into the kingdom of heaven unless they become. You gotta learn the way he feel about children. You got to learn his heart towards things. Then you're going to be able to accurately deduce the way he deals with things. You see what I'm saying? But in this scripture here. In this scripture here, David says, I shall go to him. Now, you got to understand where David is going. Hey, God. David is a man of God. He's a man after God's own heart. The Bible ain't never spoke like that about nobody else. Anybody hear me up in here? Woo! There can be no doubt where David is right now. There can be no doubt where David is going. Hey, God. David saying, listen, I shall go to him. Well, David, if we know you're a man of God, we know you're the man after God's own heart. You had your ups and downs and your mistakes, but you were still covered. Woo, because when our Lord rose, they say they saw you dancing in the city again, David, on your way up. You see what I'm saying? David, if you're going to heaven, how can you say? How can you say, David? I'm looking for my verse. I shall go to him. How can that baby be going to heaven, David? You see, it's the good news of the scripture, saints, that the child will be there too. There's some of you done miscarried. You done lost children young. It's my sincere belief that you're going to see those children again. Woo! And you might have just had 2 children in the physical. But by the time you get to glory, you're going to have 6 or 7 of them little children running around. You're going to say, whence come all of these? God's going to say, that was the ones you lost, but the ones I kept. Ooh, help me somebody. Help me somebody. David said, I shall go to him. I shall go to him. Them babies are in glory. I believe it because the scripture says it's here. I believe it because it's the character of our God. And I'm not the only one who believe this, no. You got perennial men of God straggled out all throughout time that believe this. Matthew Henry, one of the most famous Bible commentaries, wrote from Genesis to Revelation. We still use him to this day. Matthew Henry says, a godly parent has great reason to hope concerning their children that die in infancy. It is well with their souls, for the promise is to us and our seed. When they die in infancy, we got great hope, Matthew Henry says. John MacArthur says this. John MacArthur, he's a writer, president of a seminary, pastor of one of the largest churches in America. Amen. John MacArthur says, 2 Samuel suggests strong evidence for a heavenly destiny of the unborn and children who die young. Let me read that again. 2 Samuel suggests strong evidence for a heavenly destiny of the unborn and children who die young. That's John MacArthur. Billy Graham was asked the same question. Billy was asked about a child that had died just being 10 days old. The parents were hurting. Why would God allow this? And is my child going to be in hell? And oh, Billy Graham, give us the answer. Billy says, yes, you can be assured that your baby is now in heaven, safely beyond the sickness and pain of this world. Your grief is real, and it won't go away overnight. But take comfort in the fact that this little child is now in God's presence forever. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And Billy Graham actually quotes this chapter and verse in 2 Samuel to support his answer that the unborn and also young children, amen, go to glory. And there's not only Billy Graham, there's other perennial saints like John Piper and Albert Mueller, who was presidents of colleges in the Southern Baptist Convention and great men of God. So take comfort. Take comfort that your little babies that were lost, hallelujah, through birth, that they are with God now. Amen. And the important question that I have for you, hallelujah, they are with God. Will you be? That's the important question I have for you. You see, and there may be some who feel otherwise about babies. That's fine. You could feel the way you want to feel. But this is my belief. And as I study the character of God with this scripture, also with other scriptures, amen, how there seems to be, hallelujah, an age of accountability that kids need to reach first before they judge on their own accord. It seems to be, amen, when you got one parent that's not saved and the other parent that's saved, and God tell them, don't leave. He said, how else the children going to be sanctified? As though your salvation can count for them. Look up, parents. Look up. Be saved. Press into Jesus. Press into Jesus. There's a sense in which your young children, amen, can hang upon your salvation, especially when they're too young to know themselves, too young to decide themselves, too young to reject him themselves. Oh, but young children realize you're not going to be able to rely on mom and daddy's salvation forever now. You can't be sitting here 18, 20, 45, 65 talking about I'm not at the age of accountability. And I'm going to tell you, we don't really know that age. Some say 12 or 13, but we don't really know that. And God wasn't specific. He didn't even broadcast the fact that children was kind of under this salvation covering. He didn't even broadcast that. You know? And I know the reason why. Because you got some crazy folk, some cult folk, that'll have kids and hallelujah. Oh, they might not get saved when they get old. Let's kill them now. You understand what I'm saying? God know what he's doing. He know what he's doing. He know. He all wise and he always do right. So the unborn going to be there. Those young kids that you lost, they're going to be there. The question is, will you be there? You see? And saints, we're going to pray tonight. And we're going to pray that we all be ready tonight. I'm going to ask the women of God to come back up and help me out a little bit. And since we got time, we're going to open up the altar. Y'all know I use every minute I got. We're going to open up the altar. And I'm going to tell you, I hope this message shook you a little bit. Not just for you, but for those around you, that you can get them saved while they still alive. And there's going to be some coming to the altar that need to be saved tonight. But I want some of y'all, amen, you got a lost loved one, amen. I'm going to need you to come stand representing them and beseech and pray and weep and cry. Because some of y'all going to cry too late. We're going to pray tonight for them. We're going to cry tonight. You heard the gospel. You heard that Jesus died for your sins. All you got to do is ask him. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You come up, you admit, you believe, and you confess. And God's going to save your soul. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When the music starts, you can come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I pray we'll all be ready.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I pray we'll all be ready. Mm. I pray we'll all be ready. For his return.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I pray that we'll get our business straight.
Come get it straight.
So we can all meet at heaven's gate.
Hey, God.
I pray that we all be ready for his return.
Come on.
Sing it with me, oh. I pray we'll all be ready. I pray.
I pray we'll all be ready.
I pray, yeah, yeah.
I pray we'll all be ready.
For his return.
Come on.
I pray, Jesus.
I pray we'll all be ready.
I pray, oh.
Father.
Jesus come.
We will all be ready for his return.
Thank you, Father.
Two men walking by the road.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
One of them had a heart pure as gold.
My God.
The sky was split. Mm. The pure in heart raptured away.
My
yes,
my God.
But one of the other left behind.
Don't be left behind.
Did not purge his heart in time.
Come on.
He cried to the Lord, but for him it was too late.
Come on, come on.
Pray that we all.
Pray we all be ready.
I pray.
Pray we all.
May we all be ready
for his return.
For his return.
straight.
That's right.
So we can all meet at the gate.
Yeah.
I pray.
We will all
be ready for his return. Man and wife in their bed.
Come on.
One of them by the Spirit led. Woo. The rapture came and took that one above. The other one rose on the next day.
My God.
To find a loved one raptured away. Oh, what a way to lose the one you love. I pray.
Some business up here tonight. Let's get our business straight here tonight. Get our business straight. Pray to God to get our children's business straight. Pray to God to get our parents' business straight. Pray to God to get our co-workers' business straight. Our sisters and brothers' business straight. We don't want to pray when it's too late, saints. We don't want to fast when it's too late. We don't want to weep when it's too late. We want to pray that everybody be ready. Under the sound of my voice, say, Lord,
I thank you
for giving us time.
But I know that time
will not last forever.
I need you, Lord,
to help me.
I can't do it
without you.
I admit
I've sinned against you.
But I believe
that you still love me.
Lord,
I'm not waiting
for a mass.
I'm not waiting
for somebody else
to pray for me.
I'm here
to pray for myself.
I'm here
to ask
you,
myself,
Lord,
save me,
a sinner,
and cleanse
me
with the blood
of the Lamb.
I want to get
my business straight
tonight.
I believe
that you died on the cross
for all my
sins.
I believe
that you were buried in the
grave.
And I believe
that you rose
on the third day.
Lord,
with all my
heart,
I believe
and
I make you
my personal
Lord and
Savior.
Hey God,
save me,
please,
in Jesus'
name.
Come on, give God
some glory.
We're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
We're not done yet.